Richard Skipper celebrates. Every show is a celebration. Richard Skipper celebrates the best in entertainment. Each show, Richard delivers the artists you love, showcasing what makes them unique, never gossipy. The antidote to a sometimes hectic world. Now, here's your host, Richard Skipper.
Happy Monday, everyone. And welcome to the latest edition of Richard Skipper Celebrates. This is a very special edition of Richard Skipper Celebrates because this is an offshoot of my Positive Moon Club. Once a month on the full moon, I like to celebrate books or people who accelerate motivation and positivity. And that's exactly who this gentleman does, Robert Glaser. His book, Friday Forward, which I have, and Elevate, two of my favorite books, and I am thrilled that he's here tonight to talk about this. Robert, I want to first of all ask you, how are you doing really in the midst of this crazy world that we're living in right now?
I mean, I'm doing fine. I don't have a lot to complain about. So, you know, there are a lot of struggles out there, a lot of stress. I think everyone's managing the people and the world around them, but I feel very lucky.
Now, before we jump into Friday Forward and this movement that you really created, I want to go a little bit backwards into your life and your childhood and what motivates you. And I always like to go back to the five-year-old self, because that is that time in a person's life before peer pressure is put upon you, before you start becoming what your classmates begin shaping you into what you become. What teachers think you should become or should not become. Tell us a little bit about what you were like as a five-year-old kid.
I think I was a pretty happy, lucky kid. I think fairly creative, you know, was very independent from a young age, liked to do my own thing. So that would have been right around kindergarten. I don't have a lot of memories there, but yeah, I mean, I was always very, very independent from the time I was little.
Now, do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I'm the oldest.
Okay. And do you have, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one of each.
Okay.
So I have a younger brother and then an even younger sister.
And do you have the older sibling syndrome? I'm the oldest also.
Yes, I have. And my wife is a firstborn, and my daughter is a firstborn of two firstborns, and she is a uber firstborn. So we joke about her with that. So it's not her fault. Yeah.
So you've always been ambitious, I'm assuming.
Yes, but you know, I think for me that ran into, and you know, this eventually probably manifests itself in my work and even Friday Forward. I think that ran into I'm not a color in the lines person. I am, you know, creative, like to do my own thing. And I think as I hit the formal sort of education of check the box and get it right and sit down, and those were all things that I was not very, very good at. I had a lot of energy, you know, would have been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD. I wasn't super high achieving in a system that really was based on conformity.
Well, what were your aspirations? What were you thinking of doing with your life as you were going through high school and eventually into college?
I went to college thinking that I wanted to be a lawyer. My dad was a lawyer. It sounded great. I don't think I even knew he did. And then I interned in a couple law firms in college and realized didn't really like it at all. Or maybe I didn't like the people or how I was treated, but I really got introduced in at that point to business and to marketing and really kind of fell in love with that. And that became clear. That's what I had always been marketing and selling stuff and creating little businesses. And just no one kind of tells you that that's what you can be when you grow up. So.
Well, I want to dissect these various aspects of your career. First of all, Acceleration Partners. Tell us a little bit about what Acceleration Partners really is.
Yeah, so Acceleration Partners is a boutique marketing agency. We have about 240 people globally, and we help manage what's called affiliate programs or partner programs, which is where companies partner with either individuals or companies or otherwise who promote their products and services online. And rather than being paid a cost per click or per placement, they're paid on performance for everything that they sell. So we help set up and manage those programs for some pretty large brands. And it's really it's a win-win model, which has always resonated with me. Like, everyone does well when you get the desired outcome. A lot of marketing and advertising is win-lose in a respect. It's either like someone got a good deal or someone got a bad deal. But you know, if you were to say, hey, look, I'll pay, you know, $10 for everyone who sends a qualified guest for my show, and I send, you know, 50 qualified guests and I make $500, then we both should be happy. Mm-hmm.
And was this a company that you created, that you started yourself?
I did. I started. It wasn't what we did originally, but it became a key part of what we did and then what we focused on. So I started it in 2007.
And how did you come up with the name Acceleration, which I love?
You know, we were helping companies grow. And early on, we were helping companies raise money and help them with the growth. And then we discovered that the biggest problem for consumer-oriented companies is getting customers cost-effectively. It's not, for a lot of them, it's not that their product or service is good or bad. It's that it's, can you get customers cost-effectively? And that ultimately determines the... So we were helping companies in a bunch of different ways kind of accelerate their growth. And that's where the name come from. Often confused with like a venture capital firm. I've had people send me pitches and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, wow, you know, we don't invest money, but I also wouldn't invest in your company because you clearly didn't do enough research to realize that we're not even an investment firm.
So what do you think is the biggest mistake that people make when they go after a company in terms of marketing, a startup company, for example, that's just starting out? They reach out to a company such as yourself, reaching out to you to help them go to the next level.
Yeah, I think they make two opposite mistakes, companies that are selling directly to consumers. They either don't focus enough on marketing, like the perfect product, particularly engineering-led, and they have something great that the world doesn't know about, or they focus their marketing on way too many things. Most companies find a beachhead, they find something that works, you know, and they get that really going, and then they expand. So I think there's a graveyard of people that have, you know, spent 5 years perfecting their product, never released it, and then the next competitor gets out in the market and beats them. At the same time, I've seen people spread their energy just way too thin trying to find, you know, run, you know, they're a six-person company and they're trying to run a LinkedIn and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. Like, pick one of those, be really good at it, and see if it works for your business.
And is there anyone in particular, or do you think it really depends on the company itself in terms of the direction they're going? For example, a younger company, for example, may be interested in going the TikTok route. Yeah. And a more corporate company may be interested in going the LinkedIn route. Are you also, do you help companies decide the path they should go on in terms of the social media marketing, or how do you help them find the path they should be on?
Yeah, we don't do social media. We do exclusively these partners. So we go help them find people that already have audiences. It could be an influencer on social media, or that person already has the audience and they say, look, I will direct them to your product and service. Like, let's figure out what the percentage will be that will pay it. So I think some people are just better at a tactic. They got an early mover advantage on a tactic. Their demographic, you know, if you're selling to, you know, 40-year-old B2B customers, they're probably more likely to be on LinkedIn. If you're selling to 18-year-olds, they're more likely to be on TikTok. So there's obviously some demographic considerations there as well.
That's true. And Friday Forward, this wonderful email list that you started with Motivation. How did you come up with the name Friday Forward?
Yeah, so it was kind of an accident. So after a pretty intensive 5-day leadership thing that I went to a long time ago now, probably 7 or 8 years ago now, 2013, one of the things we focused on was sort of a productive morning routine. So, you know, 10 minutes of sort of quiet reflection, 10 minutes of reading, 10 minutes of writing. And the instruction was sort of, or recommendation was to read something that was positive. And, you know, we were given some of these books. I would target them a little rainbow and unicorn-y for me. So after a couple of weeks of this morning routine, which I really liked, I said, you know what, there are a couple of quotes and stories and stuff that I had saved. Like, we had a distributed team of 40 at the time. I said, you know, why don't I just start sending a note out on Friday? I think it was actually called Friday Inspiration. And I started picking a theme and I would send these notes out. It was kind of about improvement or getting better. It wasn't really specific to our company. And I sent it for 4 to 5 weeks. I didn't know if anyone was actually reading them, but I enjoyed writing them. And it made me think about an issue and sort of break it down. And then, you know, I started to hear back from people and say that they really enjoyed it or they went and did something that I talked about. But more interestingly, like they were clearly sharing it with friends and family and colleagues outside the organization. That led me to a discussion with some CEOs at an event, an entrepreneurial event about, hey, you know, I'm sending this newsletter. I'm getting good feedback. Could be something you should try. And they said, oh, why don't you all send it to us and we'll take a look at it. And I sent it to 3 or 4 of them after this. And one, I think, still does his own to this day. And then the other 3, like good entrepreneurs, said, well, this is perfect. We'll just forward this to our team every week. And so that's when I realized there might be some value outside of our company. And people had asked me to add them on it. I was just emailing and BCCing, or they asked me where like an old one was. And one weekend I went and I built a blog and I bought a WordPress blog and I just created an archive of all the old ones. And I threw a couple hundred people on the newsletter list and set it up that way. So I didn't have to manage the inbox. And I thought I'd get all these, what the hell is this, take me off of it. But I got more nice notes and more people forwarded it, and it was being forwarded. So hence the name Friday Forward. And, you know, within 6-7 years of doing that, there were, you know, almost 200,000 people getting that email in 60 countries around the world.
And of course, this has changed your life tremendously in terms of the TED Talks that you do and the other events that you do. But beyond that, what is the biggest impact that this has had on you in terms of the way that you're living your life?
I mean, it's made me think a lot about what I want to do and lean more into writing, because realizing that, you know, the reach that you can have in a truly global connected world. I mean, I get 40 or 50 emails every week, and the notes that I've gotten from people that I've never met before about, you know, making an impact or difference in their life, or the right message hit them at the right week, or it helped them do something in their company that they were struggling with. So I think it made me rethink sort of my contribution and how I could make, you know, a bigger contribution on a bigger stage.
Now, growing up yourself, who were some of the people in your own childhood, beyond the usual people, your parents, of course, who have made such an impact on you that you think of every day, the mentors in your life, the people who you still think of, those people that are sitting, let's say, on the proverbial shoulders of yourself?
Yeah, that for me, they're actually later. They're more midlife. They're people who opened me up to business, who sort of pushed me. Again, a lot of that sort of 12 to 15 or 16 was a lot of, hey, just follow the plan here, do the playbook, fill in the bubbles. Can't you just, you know, wasn't, I had a couple of teachers, actually had a photography teacher, you know, who was, you know, really inspirational. I mean, that was something I enjoyed from the creative side, but it was more sort of, I would say, early business career mentors that I think both, it's sort of a, you know, we're very supportive, but then pushed me and raised the bar for me and helped me, you know, the best mentors for me, I actually do really well when someone sort of raises the bar and gives me a higher
elevates.
Level of expectation. Yeah, elevates. But I did not necessarily appreciate that early on in my life. So something definitely changed.
Along the way, who are the people who have elevated you?
You know, specifically?
Yes.
I had a great mentor in my first job at a college named Arun Gupta, also my boss at that job, Tom Warren, had a phenomenal mentor after that in my next job, someone I worked with named Sarah DeTroia. And then I've worked with a gentleman named Warren Rustan, who has held 50 different leadership roles, CEO, board. He's the one who led that leadership thing that program that I came out of and started that routine, led to Friday Forward. He's just the example of someone who has elevated so many leaders into becoming better leaders. And he's someone who I work with to this day, sort of as a coach.
Now, Robert, I'm all about celebrating people. And so I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't want any names or any specific situations that would give away a name or a certain circumstance in your life. But if you can think of a time in your life when you were not necessarily elevated by a particular person or circumstance, and what it was that took you to get through a very, if you will, a negative situation or a very difficult situation, and what got you through that situation to get to the other side?
Yeah, so interestingly, I talked about this either in the Friday Forward or the book, but I have had one of these sort of, people like demotivating boss, not a bad person, but they just weren't a good leader and just, someone who, one of the things I'm very careful to is to sort of criticize actions, not people or personality. And this is someone who would sort of criticize characteristics. And
and I'm glad you just pointed that out. Thank you.
Yeah, I've always said I've had people on my team come to me and share. I mean, they have like PTSD from someone 5 years ago who told them they are not something, like versus they weren't doing something. Like it's very different to say, hey, Richard, you're just not strategic, right? Versus the report that you're giving just to the client does not have enough strategy like in it. I mean, that's a very, when they were told they were not something, I mean, it, in a lot of cases, it caused a lot of long-term damage. So I actually had really committed to stay at this company because I felt like I had bounced around. I did tell the story, I think, in one of the Friday Forwards. It was actually sitting there in a restaurant with another friend and said, so why are you still at this job? And I was like, look, I need to put in 2 or 3 years. I need to kind of see this through. And he said, look, I give you permission to leave. And, this was not someone who I caught up with every couple of years. He was reading me and saying, because I didn't need his permission, but he's like, why are you doing this to yourself? So again, that was a great example of sort of a pro and a con that I'd left that job and started two companies, one of which is the one that I'm running today, another which had a phenomenal run. So, if I hadn't been encouraged to do that and sort of walk away from that because I had made some, almost irrelevant commitment, then it might have turned out very differently.
Now, how soon after you started doing these newsletters that were going out, did the speaking engagements start coming for you?
I was speaking a lot in our industry around marketing. My first book was on partner marketing. And it was probably, after Elevate, I started to get asked to speak on that concept. Friday Forward came out during COVID. So a lot of the speaking I've done in the last 18 months has all been virtual. It was probably, soon after Elevate came out, I think I had this audience. When people seem about thinking about having someone to speak, they were like, I don't know his topics or from in terms of an hour speech, but I like his newsletter. I think when Elevate came out and the framework of capacity building and I started to have these books around specific, subject matters, that's when the speaking started to come more.
Now I'm going to ask a question. It may seem like a silly question, but what are the pluses and minuses that COVID have had on your career in terms of the work that you're getting, the work that's coming out of COVID? It's affected all of us in terms of, right now you and I are meeting virtually, something that chances are would not have happened if COVID had not hit. But what are the pluses and minuses? And what are some of the changes that have happened in your career over the past year and a half that you think that you will be caring for as you go beyond COVID?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing I would say in talking to a lot of people, except for my friends I know who are like raging extroverts, I don't know anyone who said they want to go back to the amount of travel that they were doing before on a business basis. So, you know, if you told me I could go a year without, I mean, I was on the road almost every week or other week for my business or otherwise. And, you know, we went, did pretty well, and I was on the road for a year. So I it's funny. At one point, someone's like, stop writing about COVID and all this stuff right before. And I was like, I'm not having any new experiences. A lot of Friday Forward was I was out there, I was traveling, I was meeting people. Like, I'm not, I realized, like, I'm not having these, you know, experiences that was a lot of the genesis for the content. So, I think from that world, you know, I'm not as excited to fly around the world to give a speech for an hour and not see my kids for 3 days. I think we've gotten used to spending a lot more time together. So I think there'll be a lot more flexibility. I think it's permanently changed the speaking world. I think there's the ability to meet new people and do new things. And at the same time, I do think people have missed the human connection. We actually raised money from investors during COVID for our business. We were the first deal that they had ever done without meeting the team. And a couple months ago, we had our first board meeting. And, you know, well, they invested us. We'd gotten to know them. We'd done a lot of stuff. We built a pretty good rapport. But, you know, that night sitting in a restaurant with a couple glasses of wine for 4 hours, like, it really was a different level of connection. I find the Zoom really exhausting in about 3 or 4 hours a day, and you're kind of toast from it. So I think a lot of the things that COVID has brought on, you know, switching to remote work, more remote stuff and not traveling, you know, across the country for a 1 hour meeting. I think it's just advanced a lot of the things that were already in play. We're definitely coming back to a world where people want more flexible work. I think the roses off the bloom on the fact that you can get work done at home. There were a lot of companies who, you know, declared that was going to be impossible. You know, some people now mixing my metaphors, but companies are trying to stuff the genie back into the bottle, and they're finding that their employees are not really into that, and are just going to go on to another company that's willing to give them that flexibility. So I do think we realize that we value in-person connection, and we need that and that socialization. I do think business travel may not ever recover in the same way, because I just think people are looking at their time and the value of their time. And, you know, if it's really just a 20-minute meeting in California, do I want to fly 2 days to do that, or can I do that on video?
And were you always a writer? I mean, you're a brilliant writer. I want to, you know, give props for that.
I honestly think writing was a 10,000-hour thing for me. I think I always had good ideas, forward-thinking ideas around frameworks. Like, for me, I need a framework to understand something, but I don't think I was, look, if you talk to my high school English teacher and college English teacher, I wasn't winning any awards or prizes. Probably was decidedly B student in those classes. But I actually think it was something I realized that I could communicate a message through writing, and I learned how to get good at it. I also know what I'm, you know, good at. Not I can, I mean, I rely on editors. I actually, there's things that I can get 3 pages out quickly, but it might take me 3 hours to edit them. So I've learned to, like, you know, focus on the substantive stuff and let someone else chase down the spelling and stuff that is just much harder for me. You know, it's funny, it's the opposite. Like, the person I work with, probably they probably take 3 times the time to write it, and they do the editing in about a quarter of the time. It's just even pieces of writing. I've always relied on really good editors to support my writing.
And what's a typical day like for you? Are you constantly thinking of ideas for your Friday Forward newsletter, or are you writing throughout the week, or do you sit down on a Friday? Do you have a specific time that you write for this to go out?
Yeah, it's funny. It's become like a keystone habit. Like, there's no reminders, but just happens. So Sunday or Monday, I do the writing. I keep a list of topics. Sometimes the magic formula seems to be like current event equals, you know, current event plus lesson or structure or something around something equals Good Friday Forward. So sometimes I'll have a theme that I wrote on my, I mean, I've got 100 on that notepad, but I don't go back to it that often unless something happens and I'm like, oh, you know, like, this week's is on regression to the mean. And I actually used fantasy football as an example, because, you know, week 2, everyone's picking up players or dropping them. And if you went by the 2 weeks, most of the NFL records would be broken, you know, on some of these players. And so it was a good entree to bring up the whole concept of regression of the mean and sort of how that plays out in life and business. So that happens a lot. Sometimes I'm working like a mental map. I'm laying out like 2 to 3 weeks in my head. Something happens and I'm like, well, put that one from next week. Like, so I was out like through this week. I don't know what I'm doing next week yet. So I might start thinking about that over the weekend or go look at the list and it'll jog my mind. I haven't run out of ideas yet.
Well, I was reading about your recollections of 9/11, yeah. And the plane going into the tower, and that forgive me the framing that you used for that one moment where you remember and a memory of something like that. If you can take us back to that in terms of how we remember all these events in our life. And as I was reading this, I was thinking also about where we are right now with COVID and how we will think about these moments year.
The key thing from that study, the 9/11 study, was that after about a year, they would ask people, where were you? What happened? These 10 questions. After about a year, it was only 60% accurate. But they were least accurate because they would look at their answers longitudinally after a year and 5 years and 6 months, and they go back and ask the same people the questions. And I think it was Gladwell or someone who talked about this, about merging a memory. Like, he was in a different city than he thought he was. He just, you know, his mind had just merged these two things and it just become the truth in his head. And I think this is true for a lot of people. But what's really interesting is that only 40% of people accurately remember their emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably going to be true for COVID. I don't know which direction, like if people will not remember how anxious they were, not remember how scared they were, or they remember it being worse than it was. Because, you know, it's been interesting, obviously, there's been a lot of divide and have and have not a lot of different ways in COVID. But, you know, there's some people who literally, you know, their lives were in danger, their jobs were in danger, they're, you know, not having a place to live and real threats. There are others who had a job, had a home, had plenty of food, but were watching the news all day long and being psychologically tormented, you know, by what is a very sensationalized thing on both sides. And even though they didn't have a direct impact, that has taken a toll on their mental health. So I do wonder how people will remember this, you know, whether it was worse than or better than or angry or anxious but the data says we won't remember it. The majority of us won't remember it that accurately.
Well, speaking of which, do you go back and read your previous Friday forwards?
I do, and I also, you know, I have a journal, so that's a window into that, and yeah, I mean, one of my journal entries every week is effectively a Friday forward. So I do remember just abject fear from a business standpoint, you know, that week in March. Every week, every day was like a week. We were having emergency meetings every morning. Clients were canceling every day. I mean, it really seemed like we were headed down into the abyss. And, you know, we were taking pretty, you know, talking to coaches and people, you know, people who are around, you know, you generally want to get advice from people who've been through similar crises. And, you know, the latest financial crisis was 2008. And, you know, there are a lot of people publishing, you know, what I wish I had done. And it was kind of like act sooner and quicker. And so, you know, every day was like a week from about March 15th to May 1st. It was absolutely exhausting physically and mentally.
Now, have you ever thought about having other people, in groups do their own Friday forwards? Is this something that you have worked on or thought about?
No, you know, there's been a spinoff. There's been a couple spinoffs that people have started their own and some sort of, you know, flattery or, I'm happy for them to do that. But, you know, when they take the same look and feel, and like one of them I was on, I sort of unsubscribed. I'm like, look, I'm happy for you to do this, but he kind of took my template, my thing, the whole thing. Like, I can't act
super, like that. No,
I can't act like I'm not bitter at Gerard, but I can't act like, I feel like you got to put a little bit of your own thing on it.
Excuse me, but are you able to copyright an idea like this?
No, I'm probably not the first to have done it. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone can write it. I mean, I found since there was a Monday guy and there's a Saturday guy. I mean, there are a bunch of people that have different angles on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, there's nothing proprietary around that. But one of the things that's interesting is, you know, a lot, this concept of a book group. So I have this sort of workbook coming out in I think it's November, coming out with a paperback version this fall, either in October or November. And it's got sort of a prompt question around each Friday forward. I think one of the things that I've heard from teams and stuff that often, you know, people do these book clubs because they want the socialization. They want to go over and, you know, my wife, they, you know, go over and have a glass of wine. I mean, half the people are reading the book the day of. There's a lot of guilt about reading the book. This notion of like a 5-minute book club where you can actually like take a Friday forward, turn it into a discussion. You can read it in 5 minutes and that becomes sort of like a discussion prompt. And I have heard a lot of teams ordering books and doing that as an exercise for the team. So that's actually something we'll encourage once the workbook comes out and or the sort of accompanying book comes out this fall.
Now, I was, you know, on your website, and I mean, you've got so much information there. You talk about all the activities that you've got beyond this with your athletic activities and your home renovations and everything. And I'm wondering,
home renovations is a serious disease.
So what home renovations are you currently working on? And are you able to get ahead? I mean, right now, we're trying to renovate our kitchen and trying to get the supplies and everything. We've been told that our kitchen, we can't even get started until January because everything's on hold.
We're renovating a rental investment property. We are very focused on, with the person helping us, stock is a term that we use. Is this tile in stock? Is this toilet in stock? Like, we are not buying anything that's not in stock. So that has been – actually, what the builder told me this week is that the companies are taking the top 5 or 10 lines or styles they have, and they're just stocking the hell out of it. And then it's the long end of the catalog you just can't get. So if you're willing to stay in that sweet spot, they're trying to just make sure that stuff, you know, flows through. We just ordered a bunch of stuff last week, and it was all it had to be in stock. Anything that was custom or needed a different color fabric, I mean, it was like February 2022 or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I am.
It's a little like Henry Ford. You can have whatever color you want as long as it's black. Model T Ford. So it's similar approach to picking out home stuff at this point.
I ask this because you basically have created this entire career based on this premise, which is incredible. Do you have time to shut it off? And or is it something that you even want to shut off?
That's a great question. Yes, no, yes. So my brain, like people, like they just, the thing about Friday forward to some people watching is like they get stressed about even the notion of thinking about the ideas. That is not my problem. My brain mm-hmm. goes 24 hours a day, you know, since I was little. The struggle is to shut it down and to shut it off. Why I like real estate and a bunch of improvement is I like trying to figure out a better way to do things. I don't like repetition. I don't like doing the same thing 100 times. Like if you need a new solution or a new answer or a different way of doing it or figuring out a way to make it better, those are the situations that I naturally am drawn to and seem to, you know the right thing to do in a lot of those cases. So yes, having that sort of better way personality is super advantageous when someone calls me in a crisis and says, this is tomorrow and like what, and I'll come up with something. But it can be very exhausting for myself and my family and people mm-hmm. in my business because I'm just not good at leaving things alone. You know, I was messing with this app, trying to import this one app into the other. I just became like obsessed with it for the last half, you know. Earlier today, because I wanted to figure out how to make it work versus like going outside and taking a walk. So it is I think any strength overused is a weakness, and I'm certainly mm-hmm. prone to exhaust myself. And I try to work on exercise and meditation and create that quiet space, particularly at night, so I can go to sleep without a million things running through my head.
Well, you've got the podcast, you've got the books, you've got the talks that you're doing.
And my day job. That's just my night and weekend job.
So how many websites do you currently have?
Websites? All of my stuff is just at robertglaser.com, and then everything else is, you know, part of our company.
And do you have a team that, you know, manages all this, or are you pretty much hands-on with everything?
No, anything I do now, I have someone who supports my writing and editing and podcasting and speaking and that sort of stuff behind the scenes. And, you know, I have an incredible management team in my company. Similarly, my role in the company is to focus not on day-to-day operations this year, but what's the new idea? What's the new product? You know, I like new stuff. So now we're partnered with an investment firm last year. We've done two acquisitions. We're going to try to do a couple more. I'm really driving that. And again, when I'm learning something new and learning how to find, identify companies, like that's when I'm most engaged. Mm-hmm. Some people like doing the same thing 100 times over because they find comfort in that. Like, I do not.
And in addition to the writing that you're doing for Friday Forward, are you currently working on a new book?
I just finished a book with the president of my company. It's our sequel to our first marketing book. So it's an industry book. And my next book in the sort of Friday Forward series will be in 2023, and that'll be Elevate Your Team. So it'll be taking the capacity building concept from Elevate and how to use that to versus, you know, growing yourself towards growing a team.
Now, there's a lot of noise out there with when it comes to marketing, podcast, live streaming, all of these things. How do you navigate yourself through the noise? I mean, first of all, I found you. And again, I love the books. But how do you yourself navigate yourself through all the noise that's out there? Or do you even think about the noise?
I don't really think about the noise. You know, I think there's this concept of 1,000 raving fans. You know, I think some people are trying to reach everyone. I just try to make sure I put quality content out there, like stuff that helps people, right? If you make it, if it actually makes an impact, changes someone's life, help them change their business, like then they're going to be someone who sticks around. So I'm not measuring against any market share or metric like that. So that's pretty easy. I don't, I focus on what I can control, not what I can control. And actually I've gotten sucked into the, I've sort of settled more on LinkedIn. Like it works well for my audience. Like I, you know, TikTok's probably not where my, someone's probably crushed TikTok, but I, you know, I have 300,000 LinkedIn newsletter subscribers. So this goes back to just kind of focusing on a couple of things. I think you'll see me do less stuff even, you know, next year. I'm really going to lean into the capacity building platform, you know, probably launch a mastermind group around it or something. I've been trying to figure out, you know, I have a lot of people that write me and ask questions and I try to get back to them, but I need to, how can I offer an experience for a smaller group of people who really want to ask questions and focus on that together and something like that. So I've tried a bunch of different things and I think I'm actually more now in the winnowing down than the expanding mode.
And Robert, was there a moment when you felt that you had made it with the work that you're doing? Or do you feel that that's something that you're still working towards?
That's a good question. To the sort of achievement personality before, I think I'm very bad at celebrating wins. So I think as soon as I hit one goal, it's like, oh, okay, on to the next one. So I actually think I'm trying to be better at, you know, making sure I enjoy the destination or the, you know, my last book was a Wall Street Journal number one bestseller. That was a goal. Boom. How do we do the next? What's the next thing? New York Times bestseller. Right? It is just sort of a function of the disease in some sort of concept. So I probably need to do a better job of acknowledging where I am than constantly kind of moving the goalpost. But if you listen to enough people, talk to enough people in a similar bucket, it seems like it's a very common pathology.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there a particular moment, though, that you can pinpoint where people started recognizing you for the work that you were doing?
I think not like a, you know, I'm really bad. This is part of the ADD memory. I'm really bad at like, if I can recall anything, but when people ask me like, what was a singular high or a low, it just, my brain just doesn't work that way in terms of like pulling out these examples. It's like, I have to be around whatever we're talking about and then I can unlock all the examples. But I think it was, I think it's been more when I'm like, oh, when people are like, oh, I, you know, I get your Friday for, why do I know you, or I've seen you, or, you know, just finding out all these people who are signed up for this thing and just being kind of totally surprised by it. Or my mm-hmm. daughter's friends thought I was famous or something at one point. It wasn't any one moment, but more when people, you know, through other people have sort of heard about my work or something I did or read it. It's always a little, you know, it's always a little bit flattering.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the moment that your name started getting out there, let's go there for a moment.
Yeah.
The business has changed a lot in terms of social media, the way that we present our work, the way that our work is perceived by others. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in terms of social media? And what are some of the things that you love about social media in terms of getting the work out there? And what are some of the obstacles that you really, you know, want to navigate a little bit better in terms of getting your name out there?
Yeah, you know, social media is a beast that you got to feed. And so I've always wanted to do something if I wanted to do it or write it and make sense and be thoughtful. It sort of rewards like just keep going. And so sometimes I know like, oh, if I just do a quote today or a post, and I really don't want to do it. But and so I don't want to do it for the wrong reasons. I think that's the struggle with anyone on social media. I want it to be me. I don't want it to be a social media manager. But, you know, the frequency required, you know, required for a lot of these folks, I'm sure, you know, whether it's Adam Gant or Gary Vaynerchuk, I mean, they have like a team. And again, I'm not looking to just get awareness for awareness. So I don't want to be managing a whole team of social media. Like if I want to share something, I have something to say, I say it. Right. But I think that is one of the struggles with the algorithms and stuff is that, you know, they respond to frequency.
Mm-hmm. And do you understand?
So it encourages people to probably, you know, not to say something when they have something worth saying, but just to constantly keep saying something.
I want to read a quote that I was reading today, since we are tonight's the full moon. This is from actually President John F. Kennedy. We chose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard, because the goal was served to organize and measure the best of our energies and our skills. And, you know, this is from a chapter on the moonshot. Yeah. And I thought it was appropriate tonight because it's all about collaboration. It's about putting that right team together. And obviously you have the right team working with you. A shout out to Heather, who's been great, yeah, you know, with everything. So
don't tell her I was late or, you know, I'll get it. No.
Thank you, Heather. How have you gone about putting your team together?
Yeah, I mean, this will lead to a post later this year. But as you build teams, if you really see yourself as a leader or someone who's developing people, you should want multiple people that could take your job. You know, you should really saying, like, I want these people to be as good as I am or ready to take it over, or they're going to go lead, you know, somewhere else. And so I have a lot of faults and things that I don't do well. But wanting to hire people that are smarter than me and that complement skills that I don't have. And I think, you know, I've helped build, I am not trying to do anything. So any time I'm involved in an initiative now as an entrepreneur, like that is not my day job. I make sure that the right people are there, the right team. Hopefully I can add value to that team, the type of strategy or market positioning or marketing value. But I see people trying to run like four companies at once and do everything. And not only is it unhealthy for them, but you check back in a year and usually all four of those things are out of business. So I have a few different things that I would do, but I would say again, in most of those things, I almost have a CEO of each initiative, and I'm more of the chairman, and understand, you know, what role I can contribute, but what it takes to do that on a day-to-day basis. So
why do you think that most people are, I mean, do you think it's fear of someone taking over? Why do you think most people are afraid to delegate? It's something that I absolutely love. If somebody can actually take care of that, by all means, you know, take care of it. And I tell people that all the time. But so many people are afraid to relinquish something that they can't do very well to someone else.
Yeah, it's fear, it's control, they're threatened. I think I wrote about this a few weeks ago on the concept of delegation. You're rewarded, it depends. In an organization, you're rewarded as a contributor for a long time. And if you actually want to be a leader, you have to switch your reward center from, it's not about what I do, it's about what my team does and how they grow. And otherwise, some people honestly don't want to do that. Some people get all their, I get my satisfaction of something done really well. Like, and if I could influence how that's done well, then I'm happy about it. Some people really need it to be them. You know, for it needs to be them. It needs to be their pat on the back. That's just, you know, those people should be in a sales contributor role, or, you know, not leading a team, but like, Richard, you closed $1 million this week. Awesome job. That a boy. Here's your bonus. Like, that's just sort of the Pavlov's dog, you know, for them.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, because my shows are all about celebrating. What are you celebrating in your own life, whether it be in your career, in your personal life, with the people that you're around? I think it's very important, especially nowadays, with so much negativity that we are being presented with on a daily basis, to celebrate. And obviously you do that with this book and with Elevating Each Other. What are you celebrating in your life right now?
Literally, we just celebrated my son's bar mitzvah.
And congratulations.
That was a very tricky dance throughout the last 6 months of, will it be indoors or outdoors or outside? And, you know, it was actually a learning process with him saying, look, bud, we can't. You're going to get bar mitzvah on this day. You know, we're hoping it's in the temple. It could be on Zoom. We have this outdoor place booked if we can do it, if we can. And we were able to do everything. But again, we kept the expectations low, and we just felt like anything that we could do beyond our, you know, all of our friends had online, you know, events last year, that we'd be happy. And just having that time to celebrate, seeing friends and family, you know, even if masked for the first time.
Well, do you mind if I ask, how was he able to deal with that emotionally, knowing, you know, at such a young age that there was a possibility that the expectations of what he was expecting may not have been met? I'm sure that you were able to sit down and talk with him, but how was he able to deal with that emotionally?
I mean, my wife was very good about keeping his expectations really low. And again, everything's been canceled in the last couple of years. So I'm not sure it ended up working out that we could do everything. But I don't know how that would have been if that had not been the case. But I do think that the bar had gotten low enough where, like, the stuff we were talking about possibly being able to do at the time when you're planning 6 months ago or a year ago, you know, wasn't even possible. So it was an improvement. So I just think it does show, you know, your lens of, you know, we had to cut our list 50% from last time. Those were some tough friends and family, you know, conversations and decisions. Mm-hmm. But we just looked at it as we were just lucky. We were lucky we could do anything. And I think the perspective on that was helpful for us and helpful for them. I don't feel like we lost anything. I feel so happy that we could have that day. You know, at this point, wearing a mask is like normal. It doesn't even, you know, raise me in a service. And able to do that with friends and family.
And I'm so glad that you were able to do this. So yeah. God bless him. And, you know, and it's also, as I said, it's the full moon. It's the harvest moon. Were you ever affected by the full moon, or do you think that you're affected by the full moon?
I don't know. You know, sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night or whatever, I'll look outside and I'll see that it's a full moon. So I'm not sure. Sleep, I think I am probably affected. I've noticed it on a few occasions. So I'll have to see. Is it technically it's from last night to tonight?
No, tonight is actually the full moon, and this is one of the, it's the harvest moon.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be incredible tonight, especially in the next hour. So if you're able to go for a walk, I'll let you go in a few moments. Get out there and enjoy it. See it.
I will go do that. So I need a good night's sleep after this weekend. So I hope it doesn't impact my sleep tonight. But yeah, that's the one thing that I have noticed around full moon, or that it just seems really bright.
So as we wind down, I have this little homage to Inside the Actor's Studio, James Lipton, whose birthday was yesterday. And these are just some random questions that I ask you just to get a sense of who you are.
Yeah.
So just be prepared. What is the best thing about your life?
My family.
Perfect. What is the best thing about living at this moment in history?
I think this is truly a time of tremendous resources and abundance if we use it correctly.
Great answer. What place are you most tranquil in?
Mountains.
Great. What is the worst departure in your life?
Departure, not like an airport.
It could be.
When I was 10 years old, I was on a train and my mom had my brother and my baby sister, and she told me to go watch them change the engines in the train park. And I did that. And then I walked back to where they were and the train had been split in half and I was going back to DC and they were going to Boston. So that was a rough departure.
Wow. And what happened?
This is before cell phones. So I found a conductor. They stopped the train. They took me in the station. I don't know how they got in touch with my mom. They must have had a call through the conductor and they said, your son's on in our train station here. You know, this is all before cell phones. And they were, you know, going north and they couldn't turn around the train or stop it. So I told her, back to my independence, I said, look, she's got a baby. I'll wait for the next train, put me on the next train. And that's what happened.
Wow. Well, what a great story. You may have just answered the next question. What was the best arrival of your life?
Best arrival was my kids, equally probably.
Great. What was the worst accident that you ever experienced?
The worst accident, I got, someone slid into me at a party in college and sort of took my legs out and I kind of landed on my chin. So I still have a scar to this day. I have to be careful shaving.
One of those too.
Yeah. but if that's the worst, I feel lucky if that's the worst accident.
When has your intuition served you the best?
Always with respect to people. I think any time I have ignored a early warning sign around, this is not someone I want my kids to be around, this is not someone who shares our values, and I have overlooked those, it has always come back in a bigger problem later on.
And my last question for you, in what situation do you exaggerate the most?
Question. Do I exaggerate the most? Probably my storytelling.
No, don't go anywhere for a moment. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. I do highly recommend both of these books, Friday Forward and Elevate. Go to robertglaser.com. Get the newsletter. I get it. I look forward to these. They are so incredible. Thank you, Robert, for being here tonight. I want to thank everyone for being here. You could have been anywhere else for the last hour. The fact that you chose to spend it with us, I don't take lightly, and I'm sure I can speak for Robert as well. It means a lot to me. If this is your first time here, I hope that you will subscribe to Richard Skipper Celebrates. Please leave a comment. Hit the like button if you did indeed like tonight's show. Leave a comment. Share this with your friends. Let other people know what you think of tonight's show. I also end every show by telling everyone to go out and do something nice for somebody else without expecting anything in return. Go to your Facebook friends list and let's say the second name that pops up, reach out with a phone call. Let that person know what they mean to you. Not a private message, not an email, not a private inbox message, but a phone call. Let that person know what they mean to you. As a dear friend of mine says, we're all in this together, but we're not in the same boat. And you never know what someone else is going through at this time. So please take the time to reach out to other people. But I always say, if you're going to be out in a boat, make sure that you bring a skipper along. So, Robert, I'm going to leave the screen, and I'm going to give you the final word. Anything that you want to say about anything that we talked about tonight that you want to expound upon, anything that we didn't talk about that you wish we had, or just any message that you want to put out to anyone who's watching now, I thank you for the gifts that you've given to the world and that you're going to continue to give. And thank you for being here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The one thing we didn't talk about that is talked about both, I think, in Friday Forward and Elevate is just the importance of core values. I think understanding your personal core values is one of the most important things you can do in life. It was the game changer for me in that leadership session that I spoke about that ultimately led to Friday Forward and me being able to sort of put my values on my desk, begin to make decisions based on those. So I believe a lot in that work. I've started doing it with my team. If you go to robertglazers.com and go into courses, you'll see I actually created a core value course that's about an hour to help you work through that process if that's something you want to do. Because I think, again, once you've figured out your core values, everything becomes a lot easier from there. So thank you very much. I hope you all have a great night.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.